Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
We're taking the month of December off of our series on the Gospel of John. We're about halfway through chapter 7. That's 11 months to get through 7 chapters, almost through 7 chapters. So by the time we are in 2027, we should be done with John, especially if we keep taking these breaks. Today, we're going to start our new series, Celebrating the Birthday Boy. His name is Jesus, and he's got a birthday that we're going to celebrate in a few short weeks. To get at the beginning of Celebrating the Birthday Boy, I have to tell you, this is a perfect way to introduce Celebrating the Birthday Boy, I have to tell you about my culinary skills. Did you know I have culinary skills? I do. Almost every Saturday, I take a few hours and I prepare my meals for the week so that come breakfast time on Thursday, I don't have to wake up and say, what's for breakfast on Thursday? It's already prepared. Often on those Saturdays, I prepare the most wonderful snacks that humanity has ever discovered. It's called an energy bite. A friend of mine who's a nutritionist in Wisconsin gave me the recipe, and one of the most delightful things that is included in these energy bites is the best smelling thing known to humanity. Somebody say vanilla. Would you like to smell this? Caroline, come and smell. Doesn't that smell good? Just take a smell. Isn't that awesome? Everybody smell with me. So people listen to this online regularly. Sniff loud enough for them to hear you sniffing. Oh, it smells. So you guys smell that? It just smells so great. Man, and so it smells so great, I just want to have a little bit. Who wants to have a sip with me? Any takers? Come on then. I see you. Yeah. Now, before you sip it, I want you to smell and tell us, what do you think? How's that smell? Awesome. It smells awesome. Cheers. Me and you. Let's drink it. That's nasty. Isn't that awful? I'm so sorry to do that to you. Wow. This is shocking to me because it smells so good and yet it tastes so bad. But my energy bites are made 100 times better with this nasty tasting stuff in it. Isn't that weird? So what I've learned in my culinary expertise is sometimes, somebody say sometimes, the bitter makes life better. Say it again. Somebody say, the bitter makes life better. Well, let's be honest. In those energy bites, I also put honey. And you, I don't know your name. What's your name?
Chloe.
In my energy bites, honey doesn't really smell great, but I put honey in there too. So, Chloe, you want to taste some honey? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you are a trusting soul. That is so tasty. You know what I'm going to do, Chloe? It's kind of hard to drink this, but I'm going to give you the spoon and go ahead and take a taste of that honey and tell me what you think. Is that better? It's way better, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Somebody say thank you, Chloe, for being the guinea pig today. You can take that back to your seat. Thank you. Oh, that is so good. Sometimes the honey makes it heavenly. Turn to your neighbor and say, the honey makes it heavenly. So we're talking about celebrating the birthday boy, and I want you to know that we have reason to celebrate the birthday boy, and I want to give you some reasons why we celebrate Christmas. It's more than the chubby guy in the red suit. You know this. It's because Jesus is phenomenal, Jesus is awesome, and Jesus is, as the cliche says, the reason for the season. And thus, we're going to take some time to celebrate Jesus and remind ourselves that he is worthy of celebrating. Do you agree? Okay, so here's the deal. Before I jump into today's text, it's just one small verse. I want to particularly call out those of you who know what it is to be, well, in turmoil. How many of you know what it is to be in turmoil? Okay, then this is going to be a really good word for you. So today, you're going to have some reason to celebrate because the truth of Scripture that we find really speaks to those who are currently in turmoil, have been in turmoil, or maybe someday will be in turmoil. I think that includes all of you, right? So if you've been in turmoil, if you are in turmoil, if life is a bit difficult for you right now, I got some good news for you that might help you celebrate the birthday boy. The Apostle Paul would say this in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28, and we know. He doesn't say we wonder. He doesn't say we speculate. He says, with confidence, we know. Somebody say, we know. We know that in all things, that's a great phrase. Somebody say, all things. It doesn't say some things. It says all things. Say it like you mean it, all things. Oh, in all things, God works for good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. He works for the good, all things, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. If you've ever experienced hardships, if you've ever wondered what is this about, if you've ever wondered if it's going to end, if it's ever going to work out, you need to read this verse and you need to repeat after me. We celebrate the birthday boy because he brings a promise that says all things eventually will work out for good. Even that crappy thing you're going through right now, it includes your present troubles, your past troubles, your future troubles. It includes the headache you are experiencing. It includes the headache you work with at work, whatever his name is. It includes your addiction. It includes your financial stress. It includes your relational turmoil. It includes your wayward children. It includes all things. All things will work together. All things. All things. All things. So sometimes all things, it's a bit of a bummer because how many of you wish that we didn't need such a promise? How many of you wish life was always wonderful? Okay, why y'all raising your hand? Come on. We wish that life was peachy keen all the time. It was, if it was roses, life would be good. But I want to give you a lesson. I want to learn you something from my culinary expertise. Sometimes the bitter things in life makes life better. Sometimes that thing that you're going through right now, or the thing that you went through yesteryear, or the thing that you might go through tomorrow, sometimes those are the things that bring a sweeter flavor, a better aroma to the life that you are living. How can that be? How can it be that your struggles are a lot like vanilla extract? You know, it's easy to look at somebody else's struggles that they've been through and they've walked through victory and say, wow, that smells really good. Good for them. Remember, we've told stories here before and we've had videos of people who've gone through stuff and they've come out on the other side. How many of you have looked at those stories and been encouraged? How many of you ever heard a story of somebody who've been through crap and come out on the other side? Wow, that's encouraging. How many of you have felt that's encouraging? You look at those and you're like, that's like vanilla extract. It smells really good. But when you taste it in your own life, you're like, this really is nasty. But I'm telling you, that which is bitter in their life makes their life better and encourages your life. The same is true for your life and other people's life. When you experience something bitter, it makes your life better and it helps their life as well. So, for example, some of you might have known that, I think Fraser was standing right here, fellow bald man. When I moved to Kalamazoo in 1996, I was fresh out of seminary and I still had hair back in those days. I went to work at Center Point Church, which used to be called Third Reformed Church, and the senior pastor at that place, friend of mine, a guy named Jeff Port, said, I need you to meet this young guy. He's going off to college. This guy was about 6-7 years younger than me, and the guy's name was and is Brian Fraser. We met at Wendy's. It's Fraser. Are you in the room, Fraser? Shouting about. He's gone. We met at Wendy's. And at that meeting in 1996, right before he went off to Northwestern College in Iowa, I realized that this Fraser guy and I, we connect pretty easily. Even though I'm 6-7 years older, I kind of liked him, and I felt like he kind of liked me. And, you know, he ended up going, I think, to 17 different colleges before he finally got a degree, and many of those were in this region. And so after I left this church, Third Reformed Church, I went to start a ministry on campus called The Gathering, and I said, you know, we need worship, because worship is really the center of anything I want to be a part of. Does anybody agree with that? But let's be honest, I have a hard time playing the radio, let alone any instrument, right? So I said to this young guy, Fraze, I said, Fraze, would you be the worship guy for The Gathering? And he said yes. Back in 1998, he and I began formally working together. And then as I went through, you know, my days serving in campus ministry and working alongside Fraze, and that ministry grew from 16 to about 507 years. It was a sweet, wonderful time. Had to go through some therapy to get healthy for other things. And God said, now that you're a little more healthy, no jokes, okay? You should have seen me before. Now that I was a little more healthy, God said, why don't you go plant a church? So in 2004, we went to plant a church, and I called Fraze, and I'm sharing the following with permission, and I said, hey, I want you to be the worship pastor at this church I'm starting. And Fraze at that time was going through a rough phase in life. He knew what it was to have some bitterness, and so he was off smoking pot all the time and wanted nothing to do with the church. Have you been there? Yeah. Well, that's happened. His bitter made life better. And he kind of came around, and he actually, about 6 months after we started the river, he became the worship pastor at the river. And 14 years later, he's been on staff, and it has been an up and down and up and down. But in the midst of the up and down, it's been like Linus's security blanket for me to have Fraza working alongside me here at the church. Yeah. Now, remember, we're talking about celebrating the birthday boy, because he makes all things work for good, right? So about a month ago, when after we had a prayer and fasting meeting over there on a Thursday night, he called me into my office, and I actually noticed he was a little flighty. Fraza is not a flighty person, but he lost his keys, he was a little confused, and I'm actually thinking, wow, what, is he smoking pot again? I mean, he's just kind of flighty. And he sat down in my office, and he said, there's no easy way to say this, but I accepted a job in business elsewhere. You know what that felt like? Well, I can't really describe it here, but I would rather have drank this entire bottle of vanilla extract, because the blow that it kicked me in the gut was just, I can't describe it. My friend, my colleague, incredibly gifted, he's moved out of the worship pastor position, Anna's that at this time, and he moved into the executive pastor role and helped settle some stuff around the church. And for him to tell me he moved on, man, You know what I didn't want at that time? Somebody to read to me Romans 8:28. And say, hey, all things are going to work for good. Had somebody told me that at that time, they might have received a punch to the throat. Now, parentheses right here. Good theology at the wrong time is what? That's bad theology. Or is it? You see, I told Fraze just, I think it was Friday. It was just Thursday of this week, so about 3 days now. After having wrestled and gone up and down with this for about a month, I felt my equilibrium kind of come back. I've been a little off my game. Emotionally, I've been, you know, grieving the loss of Fraze. He's here till the end of the year. And so when that still small voice whispered a couple weeks ago, hey, why don't you take a time out in John? Why don't you give them reasons to celebrate my birthday? Why don't you remind them that all things will work out for good? Amen. And so this week, for the first time, the reality of this teaching has sunk in, even in the midst of some grief and some pain and some sorrow. There's moved some peace. Because the reality is, all things will work out for good. That's a wonderful prepositional phrase, for good. Because sometimes things work out not for good. But the promise in the midst of all of our struggles, even when life is bitter and bad tasting and you want to spit it out, God promises, and if you're happy about something, here you go. God promises in all things, he's going to work it for good. So that thing you're going through, I'm going to guess, might be a lot heavier than the thing I've been going through. I'm losing a colleague and a friend. As a coworker, he'll still be my friend. But you're experiencing something much heavier. Or you might experience something much heavier. The reality is the promise of all things working together for good. It doesn't require you to have something really bad or just kind of bad. It doesn't matter. All things will work together for good. And it might take you a month like it did me. It might take you a year. It might take you some time to get to the place where you can walk out the peace of the reality that this birthday boy brings a promise that he will work all things for good. For good. And so somehow, if we believe the word is the word of God, and we believe that God is in charge, we can sit back and say, I don't understand this, but I'm excited because some good is going to come. Amen. Okay, there you go. So many of you in the room are part of the recovery movement. I'm so glad that you are. Right? Be a cop for that too. I'm clapping for you. Way to be. So in 1939, the two fellas wrote The Big Book. And they talk often in Alcoholics Anonymous and then in other anonymous groups about the higher power. In the original 1939 Big Book, this is what they had to say about the higher power. They were onto something, and I think they might have been leaning into Romans 8:28. We believe our higher power. No, time out. I love how these guys, when they talked about, you know, the higher power, they gave people freedom to figure out what their higher power is, because that's quite frankly how Jesus was. He never forced anyone to believe in him. He never did. And neither should we. Rather, Jesus just presented himself, and he was winsome, and people who saw the true Jesus were drawn to him. That's really what we ought to do. And quite frankly, that's why we're celebrating the birthday boy this month. So our higher power, my higher power, is Jesus. They talk about this. We believe our higher power, get this, this is straight from the Big Book, will take care of us. Woo! Kind of makes you want to be a, no, it doesn't. makes you want to learn from our friends in recovery. Doesn't it? Because everybody I know who's been in recovery and walking out the recovery leans into this truth from the Big Book that the higher power will take care of us. Amen. This is from the basic text on page 58. Our program, they say, is based on the idea that if we ask our higher power, he will care for us. Because this principle is so basic, we may tend to forget it, to ignore it. It's not just folks in recovery who forget and ignore it. It's people who work in churches whose friends get called to a different phase of life. And it's not just people who work at a church who forget it or people in recovery who forget it. It's people who look at you in the mirror who forget it. It's you. You too forget that God will work things out. The higher power. We forget this. Continuing on. Unless we learn to consciously apply this spiritual truth, we may miss out on something as essential to our recovery as breathing to life itself. I like what y'all just said. Somebody say, hmm. Hmm. Say, hmm. I mean, that's good. Hmm. That's just good. Hmm. Our higher power will take care of us. All things work together for good, and thus we can celebrate the birthday boy. All things, people, all of them, all the crap in your life, it will work out, and thus we can celebrate the birthday boy, and I can buy on Amazon sweaters that are ugly that say birthday boy. Now, here's the deal. In my energy bites, it's not just the bitter that makes it better. You know what else makes it better? What makes it heavenly? Honey. Now, for those of you who've been zoning because God has blessed you and you haven't had a lot of struggles lately, now's your turn to pay attention. Because some of you, praise God, have lived in a peaceful place for quite some time, right? And your struggles are very minimal. Praise God for that. If that's you, stand or raise your hand so we can give you some praise, right? I mean, not give you some praise, but give God some praise for your freedom. I'm glad that there's one person in the house who's got some freedom. Hang on, Tom. Maybe I didn't speak clearly. If life has been good for you for a little bit, would you stand up so we can give God some praise? That's what I'm asking. Fantastic. Now, those of you who are seated, don't get jealous. Say, I want some of that. Say it. You just made a prayer. Say, I want some of that. So those of you who for life has been good, you could easily zone out and say, blah, 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 yeah, God works all things for good. That's good for our friends in recovery. That's good for our friends who are struggling. That's good for friends who have problems. But I don't have problems, so I don't need the truth of Romans 8:28. We know what all things includes? Yeah. It's not a secret. It's not rocket. All things includes all things, including the seasons of honey of life, because we know that honey makes it heavenly. And so your good season of life has been given for you for the sake of goodness. Repeat after me. Duh. Jumping ahead to the end of the verse. Because you've been called according to his purposes. So your good things, the good place of life, the season of honey that you're living in has also been given so that you can experience the goodness of God for the sake of others. Amen. I wonder if the season of honey in your life has been given for you, to you, so that people who sat when you stood could actually see that and you could kind of pull them into the place of standing. Because sometimes you need the honey to pull out the vanilla. And some of you are honey and you've been keeping your honey to yourself. The sweetness is meant to be shared. And so I'm wondering if the good season that you're in has been given for the sake of somebody who was sitting when you were standing. What do you think? Now, I know this to be true because there are also seasons of goodness going on in my life. Quite frankly, there's seasons of goodness going on in the place of my employment, that is, your church. Where we are saying goodbye to Fraza December 30th. And by the way, December 30th, you know, that last Sunday of the year, that's the one that all of us pretend doesn't exist and we never even think about going to church, right? Is that you? Or you know somebody like that. Of course you would never do that. You don't want to miss December 30th because we're going to kind of have a celebrating and praising God for the work that he's done in and through Fraze, and we're going to commission him as he moves into the business arena. And so we're going to kind of have a 14-year memory session with Brian Fraze and I up on stage, okay? So you're going to be here for that. While we're grieving the loss of Brian, living in the truth that all things are going to work together for good, we're walking out hopefully that God is doing something cool and different in the days to come. God brought us a new pastor for a different purpose, not to replace what Fraser is leaving vacant, but to replace a position that we've had vacant for about a year now. So we have hired a discipleship and community connections pastor. And I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm sharing a little of this story, and I'm sure it's okay to do this. He's coming out of recovery himself. Isn't that good? Quite frankly, I like working with people because I've been this way myself, who've come out of some issues. Because people like me who have had issues and have experienced some victory in them, I feel like there's a sensitivity to kindness and gentleness and the true spirit of Jesus that people who've never had a problem sometimes miss. And so I want to tell you that we're about ready to enter into a season of honey that's going to mix with the season of vanilla in our life because Brad Landrum is now on staff as one of your pastors. So I just had my 7th knee surgery on Tuesday. Did you see him jump up on the stage? Quit showing off. So next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brad up on stage a little longer, and we're going to interview, and we're going to get to know him a little more. But Brad, I want to publicly introduce you to your family. This is your family right now. And yeah, thank you. And here's how, a church, this is family. We don't do church membership at this place. It's just family, right? So he's part of your family. He's a new part of our family. And so if this has been your family for a long time, you have a job, church, to make your family member feel as if this is his home. So next week, I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions. All I want him to do today is I want him to introduce his family who are seated over there because they are also part of the family. If they're nervous and awkward about this, pretend they're not, and that's okay. We'll do this. So Brad, welcome. Tell us who your family happens to be over here.
So we have my beautiful bride, Rachel. It's also her birthday today.
What? Happy birthday!
She's holding Team Landrum number 6, which is Claire. And then next to her is our oldest daughter, Adriana. And then our son, Max.
All right.
We also have Cadence is in the children's, and Eva is in the nursery, and we have one at Camp Pendleton in California.
Who's in the Marines, right?
Who's in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. So here's the deal. In the midst of the vanilla, you've been like honey to me. And I am glad you're here, and I want to pray over you real quick. And again, we'll do more of this next week so they get to know you a little more. Would you all pretend like you have an inner Jedi, right? Hold your hands out. But realize you're not a Jedi. You have the Spirit of God in you. And you're going to ask the Spirit of God to bless this man. Lord, we ask that you would bless Brad in his days to come. Do you agree, church? If you agree, say, somebody say, yeah, Lord, bless this man. And Lord, we want you to bless his family in his tenure here at the River. Somebody say, bless his family. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those he leaves behind at his former place of ministry, that you would bring comfort, healing as they grieve his leaving, like we're grieving Fraser's leaving. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would go in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we're excited for the season of honey that Brad is ushering in because you sent him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So what I've learned about Fraser in 14 years, right? This is true about you, Fraser, right? You're not overly huggy. Is this true? Yeah. But I think Brad is. All right. This is good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Fraser, to give you a heads up, I might have to hug you on stage on the 30th, okay? The honey makes it heavenly, and the bitter makes it better. God works all things. But you know, that's not really what the text says. It doesn't just say God works all things for good. You know what else it says? We got to finish the sentence. For whom? Whom does God make all things work out? I'm going to tell you right here. If you have a Bible, you can read it. It's Romans 8, 28. If you have a Bible electronically, quit pretending like you're reading the Bible and actually texting. Who's on Facebook right now pretending you're reading your Bible? It's a promise that God will work all things for good, but it's a promise for a particular people group. For those who love him, who've been called according to his word, for those who love him. So we can't just stop and say God is going to work all things for good. He will, and he wants to for all people, but it only works out for those who actually love him. Now, if you don't understand right biblical thinking, this could be kind of mean and just arbitrary. I want to tell you this. God has blessings for all human beings. God's grace is unlimited, and God's grace is for every single person who has ever drawn breath. Say everyone.
Everyone.
However, on this side of heaven and this side of Eden, in the in-between lands, we all live under an umbrella of self-centeredness that kind of keeps the showers of God's grace off of us. Every single one of us. There's no person who has not had this umbrella of self-centeredness that keeps the blessings of God's grace off of us. Some might even call it, because it's actually accurate, an umbrella of sin. And the sin that all of us have creates an umbrella that keeps us from receiving that grace that God just is pouring out on planet Earth. It's just pouring out all over the place. But our sin is that umbrella, that self-centeredness is that umbrella that keeps us from walking out the promises of God's grace, such things like all things will work together for good. However, the good news is, and the reason we celebrate the birthday boy, is that grace is for all. All we must do is set down the umbrella, step into the grace, and receive. All we do is set down the umbrella of sin and self-centeredness, surrender to the birthday boy. And all who do this get the promise. So I recommend, if you haven't, put down the umbrella. See, the tendency is for us to hold our own umbrella. It's up to us to fix things. It's up to us to make it right. It's up for us to live goodly. We can't be good enough to please God. We don't have to be. Jesus has got us covered if we just would set down our umbrellas. And so maybe this season, as you celebrate the birthday boy. Maybe this is the first year you've ever actually said, you know what, I do want to surrender to that baby who became the man who took the nails, who jumped out of the tomb alive and well for my benefit. Maybe this is the season that you say, yeah, I'm going to set down that umbrella and I want to receive the grace that God has for all people. Somebody say all people. So we have a goal this month, right? It's to add 100 to our family. For the sake of people who don't know what it is to experience the blessings of Jesus, to finally hear about Jesus. We got a goal, not for the sake of just having a goal, but for the sake of the freedom of people who don't yet know Jesus. So I asked you last week, I asked you on Facebook this week, what I'm going to ask you again, the question is who? Who's going to sit in that chair next to you next week? Who are you going to invite who doesn't yet know the grace Jesus has for them, the love that Jesus has for them, the promise Jesus has for them? Who will you bring so they can hear of the goodness of this birthday boy? My question to you is, who? Turn to your neighbor and say, who? Who? That's enough. So God works all things for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If you got a pulse, you have. And it's really not about the issues. We just say that so that you can admit that you've got issues, because if you don't admit you have issues, you're not going to work through the issues. Right? It's like those people, how many of you have had that check engine light come on in your car and you just like either put a sticker over it or ignore it, right? That doesn't work well. You got to get it fixed. And the reason we point out if you have a pulse, you have, it's for the real thing, because if you have a pulse, you also have a. Now, if you're new here, that's all. It's not secret language. It's just you learn something. It's not insider talk. It's truth talk that you're now a part of. So if you're newish, you can join along. If you have a pulse, you have issues. Because we deal with that because really, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God has called you for a purpose. He works all things for good so that you can live out his purpose. You have been given a task, person. You've been given a task, people. You've been given a task, you. And it's to bring God's goodness wherever you go. Some of you might be in the business arena, in construction or in maintenance. Who knows? It could be, like Fraser's moving on. He's going to work for a home building company. He's got a purpose. Some of you have a purpose kind of leading your family. Some of you have a purpose in your school. Some of you, you work in entertainment. Some of you work in government. You have a purpose wherever you happen to be because God put you there. Let's just be clear. People who work in religious places like me, we ain't the only people who have a purpose. And quite frankly, we have a smaller purpose than the rest of you have a purpose. Our job is just to encourage you to really take the kingdom of God where you go. My job is halftime. Your job is the game. This is just halftime. The real game is every other minute when you're not in this building. You have been called for a purpose. So that thing that you've been wrestling with just might be the fuel to help you fly. Let me say it this way. That pain you're experiencing might be the fuel to help you fly. Maybe that pain you're experiencing is the vanilla extract that needs to be mixed in to make life a little bit better for you and others. Let me say it this way. Your pain is linked to your purpose. Your pain is linked to your purpose. Maybe that particular thing you've gone through is something you're going through because you've been called to help others who are or will be going through the same thing that you have or are going through. But not only is your pain the fuel to help you fly, maybe your blessings are your fuel to help you fly. Maybe the blessings you've been given, if you're sensitive to the Spirit, point to the burden you're supposed to care for others. Your blessings are the burden you're to carry. Because you've been given things for the sake of others. We have this tree. Let me give you an example. It's called the Gabe's Giving Tree out there. There's some ornaments on there. Just to be a blessing, it takes a little financial blessing in your life that you might give to others. Maybe you need to go and pick out something off of that tree right now. Well, not right now, in a bit. And you need to purchase that thing so that it can be given to the person who needs it on the back of the ornament. That's a simple way that your blessings can become a burden for others. God works all things, good and bad. Nothing is wasted. He works all things for the good of those who are called, who love him and are called according to his purposes. All things. Is that good news to anybody? How about the rest of you who didn't respond? Is that good news to you? Anybody want to drink some vanilla extract? Here's the deal. We celebrate the birthday boy, and one of the ways we celebrate the birthday boy is remembering that he does work all things together for good. We also remember that he has that promise because he conquered death. Now, if you are new to the faith and you hit that in your noggin for the first time, that would have been good news. Jesus has conquered death. So tell your face it's good news and smile. He conquered death. You know, we celebrate the birthday boy because he came to earth. I mean, God took on flesh. I mean, get this. God, I'm going to paraphrase Philippians 2 here, didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Instead, God took on a diaper. He took on a diaper. I mean, you got that baby right here, the diaper. And let's be honest, sometimes diapers stink. And he grew up and took the nails so that you could have freedom. So Christmas is about your freedom. Christmas, it's about your peace. Christmas is about your joy. And Christmas is about others in your world, their freedom, their peace, and their joy. And so we celebrate the birthday boy by doing this religious remembrance thing called communion. We remember that Jesus' body was broken for us and those in our world. And we praise him for that. And we celebrate. Now, sometimes when we take communion, at least when I was growing up, it was only a somber thing. Is that true for you guys?
It's somber.
You had to be somber. It was for me, not for you, Andrew. But doggone it, sometimes you need to set aside the somber and come with a pep in your step and happy because the news of Christmas is good. So I'm going to give you all an assignment. You can't be somber today. Right? I was hanging out with a friend of mine at Bigby the other day, and I was like, man, you've had crap in your life. How do you stay so, I was asking for my own sake, because I just told you I was going through some stuff. Right? How do you stay so even-keeled and joyful? And he goes, man, I meet with Jesus every day. And he said, I've learned that Jesus isn't just a part of the day, but he permeates the day. And he's able to walk through the junk of life, seeing this promise fulfilled that all things work out. And so, friends, I want you to come to the table with joy in your hearts and a pep in your step. And if you're at this section right here, this is your table. If you're right here, even in the front row, don't you dare go to that table. I'll throw this bread at you. You go to the back. And you guys right here, John, I know that's like a step away. Don't go to that one. Let him trust them. You guys got to go back. But you guys, you can come to this one. Balcony, you got one over in the corner. If you can, go clockwise. If not, who cares? Meet a friend. When you bump into somebody, say, oh, sorry, my name is. Take the bread, dip it, eat it, and be happy that God is good. So not only was the body broken, yeah, you can clap for that. The blood was spilt. And Jesus said something about that. He goes, when he was doing this with his disciples, he talked about this being a new covenant. Not an old one, a new one. The old one was striving and earning. The new one is free. Somebody say free. He died for you. We could say the birthday boy was born for you. And he was born for the yous in your life who don't yet know that he was born for them. It's for you. And it's free. So I want you to come happy. Even if you're not feeling happy right now, I get it, I've been there often. Remember that you have reason to be happy in the moment. You kind of tell your face to be happy as you come in your struggles, realizing that this will work out. I want you to come and I want you to celebrate Jesus, the birthday boy, as you partake in communion. And our worship team, led by Anna, is going to lead us in some songs. And are these peppier songs, Anna? She said, it depends on how you sing them. I would like for them to be peppy. So even in the midst of heaviness, can come with joy in your heart, knowing that Jesus is for you. And all things will work together for good. Those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Come on.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.